KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Oxnard for Dallas Cowboys training camp. And I think we're going to hear from Coach Schottenheimer in just a minute. But wanted to throw this out there before that and potentially the C block. The Rangers have a press conference coming up. They have agreed to terms with their second round pick, A.J. Russell. I have not seen the financials specifically, but we talked about how with three of their other top picks, they saved about $1.1 million below slot. I would be willing to guess that at least a chunk of that goes to A.J. Russell above slot.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, and that's my guess. Again, I don't know the specific terms, but that's what I would be willing to go with.
I'm high on him. But I know he had some injury history there. But well, it seems like the Rangers are willing with him, yes, obviously, to give him time to grow.
And look, let's face it. That's one of the reasons you got to discount a below slot value on two of the other picks that you signed, is because they're not going to be able to pitch this year. And that just makes some common sense to me. Look, you know how I am about a lot of these things. The asset has already been used, so might as well get him signed. You know, like, whether I agreed with the pick or not, largely irrelevant now, because the pick was made, and so I don't want to waste it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get the deal done, and it does feel like that's why they went under slot with a few of these guys, so they could go over slot on Russell.
Well, a lot of people disagreed with the Evan Carter pick. Look at how...
I mean, the people at MLB Network's like, I don't even know who that is, which is fair when you looked at where he was on some of the charts. But clearly, hey, look, that's one of the guys we talk about. You don't win the World Series without him.
Kevin, do you mind if I take a few minutes to talk,
please,
about something?
C-block time, baby.
I know a lot of these reporters. I've been around them for years. I was an intern during Bill Parcells' era with Mickey over at DallasCowboys.com. Yep. And I got an opportunity to be involved with things. And I got to spend a summer with Mike Ducey at Channel 4.
Yeah.
And I was an intern for him. And yesterday we caught up for just a few minutes and we were talking. And this is going to sound a little cheesy, Kevin, because of this journey that you and I have been on together.
You love to talk about the journey, don't you?
That's what my whole trip out to California is about this year. But he asked how things are going. And I was like, man, you know, it's really great. And he was congratulating us on all the success on air and how we're doing right now. The show's in a really good spot. We had this conversation. A lot of people were concerned when Mike went on to go do baseball,
sure,
that things were going to go a different way, and things have actually gotten really good. And that has nothing on Mike. Like, this is a lot on the Tolos and their appreciation for it. But I said, you know, I've known Kevin as long as I've been married, and so it's really fun to be able to get up and do this show with a friend.
Yeah,
you know, to be able to hop on with a friend.
Yeah,
and he was like, yeah, you know, you have a chance to do it with somebody you trust, somebody you don't.
Sure.
He was like, there's two different lifestyles you live whenever you have that. And he was like, I've had both of them. And he was like, I'm really happy that you have somebody you enjoy working with.
Look, I know we talked about it when it happened yesterday, but when we were interviewing Joe Milton, I love that he pointed out, he's like, it's probably the same with you two guys. Like, if you know one of them's in a bad mood, you're kind of like, okay, I'm probably going to have to talk more today. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that is so, so spot on.
That takes me back, and I don't know how many young people might remember this, but do you remember the Dennis Hopper commercials from the 90s? And it was Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman.
Okay.
And he was talking about how they had ESP. And he was like, Troy Aikman drops back, throws the ball. Michael doesn't even look at him. He just knows the ball's going to be there. And he's, you know, I love that idea. And I've always believed in that. The more you know somebody, and that's what Mickey was talking about with Micah yesterday. That's what, you know, Joe was talking about yesterday with us, is the, you know, how do you get to know somebody in a different way that's going to help you? Because if you know what they're going through, then you know what their experience is. You know how they're going to react and respond to whenever things get hot. And anyway, that was just it's always fun to be able to catch up with some of these people that I've worked with for a very long time.
I absolutely agree with you on all that. Who is the next person that you need to catch up with? I'm like, have your moment.
Dollar
Bill?
Maybe so. Maybe him a little bit. I don't know when Nui's going to be out here. Nui's always been a big fan of our show.
Now, I want to avoid Nui because like, what happened to Final Four in that Houston game? And I'm like, I know.
Actually, I need to ask him about something because he used to say that there was a certain vehicle that wasn't an SUV. It was actually a minivan. And I keep trying to remember which one it was. This is a long time ago. And it always cracked me up the way he said it. So I need to find him and talk a little bit about that. Kevin, we've been to plenty of baseball games covering high school sports.
Correct.
And we always did one thing when we went to these games: park far away. Because if there's one thing that you know, and that is that foul balls will crush your windshield.
True.
It has happened over time.
And it feels like, I know they've redone some stuff at Plano Senior, but it feels like they, in particular, are really baiting you into it. Because, like, the entire lot right next to the field would open. You're like, oh, man, those are the best spots. Like, what the hell?
And you know what? I don't think they've done that much work to it. I think it's still there. It's the field that really got the good work. Montgomery County Fire and Rescue Service. Have you ever had to interact with them?
I do not.
Oh, that's good. They issued an apology following an incident involving a water discharge near a fire station and a community baseball field, which led to the cancellation of a scheduled game last week, I believe. According to WJLA, a baseball team claimed that a firefighter had sprayed down a field at Blair High School in Silver Spring, Maryland, after a ball hit during a pregame practice went over the fence and struck a pickup truck parked at the station. One of our players heard someone from the firehouse say, "Hey, watch out. We don't want to get you to get wet." And he said, "I'm going to shoot the water onto the field." Probably 2 minutes later, all we saw was a massive stream of water basically just shooting directly onto center field because his truck was hit by a baseball, so he was like, "I'll show these kids," and he sprayed down their field.
Well, try to follow that, Schottenheimer. He's up right here on the Fan.
Hey, Calvin. Good.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Micah Parsons, what is the plan for him? Because yesterday he indicated he's got a little back issue, and obviously he's got a contractual thing. How are you going to try to manage all that with him?
Yeah, usually we go through the morning. As soon as I'm done here, we go and communicate with all of our players. We look at the practice plan. We see how they're feeling. And so as soon as I get done here, I'll go in there and get the report on all the guys, really. See how the morning went, some of the talk-throughs and things that we do. And I'll have more information here in a little bit.
Philosophy, when a guy like him seems to be frustrated with his contract, do you try to get involved in that just to calm him down or just be a sounding board?
No, hey, look, I'm here to coach the team. I talk all the time about the business side of this thing, and the business side gets hard at times. But, again, I focus on the fact that the guys are here, we're working. I thought it was a really good start yesterday. It wasn't a great start. We were a little sloppy with the ball. I didn't think we finished practice great. But my focus right now is just trying to get all these guys together, working together, learning how to practice. Again, the ramp-up period's been good for us, but we got to learn how to get ready because in a couple days we're in pads and the real stuff's getting ready to tee off.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys. Can you talk about the changes you've made from under Mike McCarthy and how y'all ran practice and the things you've done?
Yeah, I mean, I won't compare it to what Mike did. I thought, you know, I really liked and a lot of things we did, you know, under Mike. My philosophy is, again, get these guys on the field. You know, we ask them to run around a lot and move around a lot. I think what I try to do is get them on the field, get them off. But they got to give us what we want in terms of effort and all that. So I would say some of the practices might be a little bit shorter, but we're trying to get the numbers, the GPS numbers, the catapult numbers up a little bit higher. We're allowed certain amounts of time, and if they're not putting out, which they always have, then we can make practices up to 2.5 hours as we get going. But I think these guys like the philosophy. Let's get on, let's get off. Coach, we'll lay it out there for you.
Offense seemed like there were a lot more pre-snap motions and things. Can you talk about the little things that you're doing differently with the offense than last year?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to play static. I think, you know, being static as an offense makes it easier on the defense. These defenses, you listen to our defense out there, you know, I mean, Clarence, the way they communicate is elite. you know. And so if we just line up in a certain formation, we kind of let them see things, it's easy for them to not only make their calls, their close right or left calls, moving their fronts, setting their fronts, but actually there's tendencies. You know, everybody goes into a game defensively with tendencies that in this personnel grouping, in this formation, based on where the back is, hey, it's, I'm making up 70% run and 30% pass. Well, really good linebackers and really good defenses that communicate well, there's tells. So when you shift or change the picture or you motion, it helps disguise that a little bit. And then, of course, when you're using your motions, they're very different. Your motions make them adjust on the run. Shifts, they generally can, what we say, reload the front. So if you shift, the defense can reload. But when you motion, they can't because you're snapping the ball on the run. So we have those. We like those. Right now we're playing around with some of the ones that we believe that we'll use, but we change them up pretty regularly.
Todd Archer with ESPN. Is Mikey getting treatment for his back?
Again, when you talk about it, right now I got to go in there and find out what he's got going on today and how he's feeling. Again, I'll have more information about that here in the next little bit.
And then you talk about how big it's important to know how to practice. There was a moment yesterday where Sam Williams kind of got into a guy back-to-back plays, and you said some words to him. What happened there, and do you think that was just Sam kind of just being happy to practice again after all of last year?
100%. I mean, Sam, look, the journey Sam's been on over the past 11 months, really 12 months, is incredible. We understand why he was so excited to be out there. But again, I showed it to the team today, you know, and I told them, I said, hey, you're going to have an incredible year, but we can't practice like that. When one guy's going at a certain tempo that's prescribed and somebody else gets excited and they go, what happened was, you guys probably saw the play, Neville gets knocked back right into the back's legs, and then there's bodies on the ground and things like that. Does it happen? Sure. But part of us teaching these guys the discipline of doing it the right way is, if they make a mistake, which that's all it was a mistake. He was excited. You remove him from practice. You explain why. I walked over immediately to him. He was like, Coach, my bad. I was just excited. I said, I get it. Bring that when we're in pads. Like, we want to see that in pads. It's just right now when you're in helmets and you don't have the protective shoulders, you know, you're getting bull rushed. And guys on the ground, there was way too many guys on the ground, not even that play, because guys get tangled up. And really what the number one thing that I don't like about guys on the ground is we can't finish. We can't finish and run and chase the ball and do all the things that we need to from a conditioning standpoint.
I'm sure with The Athletic, being the head coach and the offensive play caller, obviously, you're probably not thrilled when the ball is on the ground or there's an interception, but is there any point in maybe after practice with you as the head coach, or like, damn, I like seeing that?
Absolutely. I get excited. I think, you know, I'll put it out there right now. You guys know me. I don't mind making bold predictions, but I think we're going to be one of the top takeaway teams in the league on defense. Matt Eberflus and his staff have done a incredible job. If you watch their individual and what they do, it's all what? Ball drills. But what I saw yesterday was great intentionality. Like, again, we can't you know, wrap up right now. We're kind of tagging off, but the intentional punch that these guys do, and the focus, and you see their eyes on the ball. And who had one? TP, Troy Pride, had a great one on Bull, Princeton Fant, yesterday, that gets me excited. And they're going to make us better offensively by doing it. So other than the pick six by Marshawn Nealand, you know, which Dak says he caught him. He said he tackled him. But I don't know. The film maybe showed that. I'm excited about what this defense is going to do in terms of taking the ball away. And why does that excite you? It creates momentum. And then we obviously have to go out there and capitalize on that momentum. But my expectation is, because it's the number one thing we talk about in our football mantra, is we have to win the turnover battle. Yesterday the defense won it. We didn't. Today we got to respond.
Harris, 4-star Telegram. Obviously some tense comments between Trayvon Diggs and the front office over the past 48 hours. You as a head coach, what kind of communication do you have with him to, you know, give what you expect out of him whenever he does come back from his rehab? Has there been any communication between you?
Yeah, again, I try to support these guys in terms of where they are with their life, but more importantly, just where they are in their headspace. So I have conversations with all those guys. Everybody on this team I sit down and talk to, and that's because of the type of person I am. I enjoy the relationship part of it. And my conversation with Trayvon in terms of his mindset, you know, he's fine. And, you know, the business part of it is the business part of it. And so, I had great conversations with a number of the guys yesterday. And the business side of it works out. And I know that, but right now the focus is getting this football team ready to go play, not just in the preseason, but looking even to the opening game against Philly.
How do you feel about the overall functionality of the first practice yesterday? Any kinks you're looking to work out before the pads come on next week?
Yeah, I thought the energy was great. I thought that, again, I mentioned too many guys on the ground. I thought it got sloppy late. Our conditioning was a little bit less than what I was hoping for. So I think we'll ramp it up a little bit today, talk to the guys about it. Again, I'm very upfront with the guys. I make it very black and white for them. You know, there's a standard around here how we run the ball, and that wasn't the standard yesterday. We made some adjustments in practice to make it better. It got better, but when you stand up here and you talk about being a championship team, you have a standard of practice. I also tell them this. Every practice we throw, we try to do it better than anybody in the world's ever done it. We did not do that yesterday. Maybe we do it today. We'll see. And that's the standard every day that we're trying to reach.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com. Saw a little bit of Dak under center, too, yesterday. All the quarterbacks really under center more. You know, in a league where it seems like shotgun is kind of the formation you typically see offensively, why is it important to keep that in and keep that mixed in when a lot of the college guys coming in, too, are used to that shotgun style?
Yeah, there's a number of things. Obviously, the balance of what you can do, both gun and under. We have both. There's a ton of tells when you're in the shotgun based off the back's location. If the back's offset weak, if the back's offset strong, there's tells. Dak feels like he's back at Mississippi State a little bit, playing under center. But that's really the main reason. We want to be multiple. You know that. We're going to be multiple. We're going to be difficult to defend because we're going to be under center. We're going to be in the gun. You haven't seen pistol yet, but pistol's coming for all of our opponents that are listening to me talk right now. There'll be some pistol. There'll be some wildcat. You know, so, again, we're going to be multiple, and we're going to attack people, and our system's built to do that.
Coach, yesterday I saw Maris Leofau. Looks like he was diagnosing plays much more quickly and much more efficiently than he was in year one. Can you just talk about his progress and just the expectation that you guys have from him, especially not having Overshown on the field to, you know, for a good chunk of the season?
Yeah, Patrick, I think it's great. He had a really good day. He's obviously incredibly intelligent. I think when you look at the system that we're putting in place on defense, the read and react element is really important, and Marist obviously has a great feel for that. He's one of those guys that has the ability to process tells and things like that. So I think what you saw was accurate. I think it's him getting more and more comfortable in Flus's system. And like I said yesterday, somebody asked me about Marist. I mean, I think, you know, he's a guy that's going to have an incredible second year and really help us, you know, play top-notch defense.
Joe White, Dallas Morning News. You talked about Sam Williams' excitement. Obviously, when you tear an ACL, it can be tough, you know, that rehabilitation progress. In terms of his motivation and excitement building, what did you see of the last year that kind of has led to how excited he was to get back?
The positive nature that Sam has attacked this rehab and this process has blown me away. He's obviously built like a Greek god, you know. He looks incredible. But I like the way he's talking. I like the confidence that he has. He said to somebody the other day about, you haven't seen anything yet. So, like, you like that. That's the way we're going to play defense. You know, what he did yesterday in practice is what you're going to see on Sundays from Sam. But if I was going to point one thing out about Sam, it's just been the positive attacking nature that he's had towards his rehab. I talk about a guy that didn't miss a day in the spring. He was there every day. And it's been fun for me, going back to his rookie year, to watch Sam grow up and realize, man, this is professional football, and I can take care of my family for generations. And, I mean, he's on track to have an incredible year.
Devontae Turpin had some carries again, had that in minicamp OTAs a little bit last year as well. What do you see from him as a running back? And, you know, obviously he's a little bit of a smaller guy, but what makes him viable as a potential running back in your guys' system?
Number one, no fear. That's the kick return mentality. There was an outside zone play we ran yesterday where he literally hit the hole, and it was like no fair dodge, and he was going. So no fear, speed. He doesn't need a lot of space. It's just really getting him to understand the tracks. We have different tracks and courses that the backs take. So we do some cross training. You guys have heard us talk about that. But he's just dynamic, man. I mean, the guy's a weapon. And the new kickoff rule is going to help us get him touches. But this is a guy that you know, can impact the game. We were actually doing the install today, and we showed the clip of the play against Houston where he caught the little slant. And, you know, no one in the stadium, including Brevin, who was trying to keep up, could touch him. So he's just a guy that we want to move all over the field.
Yesterday, did you like the fact that they were advocating for each other? And the second part to that question is, do you think any of that was a distraction, or do you think most of the guys on the squad understand the business side?
Yeah, I think we're trying to create a family atmosphere, you know. It's one of those things where when I look at our guys and I get a chance to talk to them a lot together, they're going to always support one another. And I'm not even talking about Mike and Trayvon. I'm talking about Dak and Joe Milton. Let's talk about CD and George Pickens. I mean, like, here's a guy that we get from Pittsburgh that they say is, you know, trouble and all those things. And, like, from the time he's been here, he's been incredible. And why is that? Is it me? No. Is it CD? I don't know. I mean, it's the culture that we're building here. And so there's a brotherhood being built here. And so I don't read too much into that. And I think that I'm really excited about the family atmosphere we've built here.
Jones, CBS Sports Texas. What was it that intrigued you about Kenneth Murray when you acquired him, and how has he fit in on this defense?
Yeah, size, power, ability to tackle, wrap up, get guys to the ground. He's a very good blitzer. And what I'm finding now that I'm getting to know K-9 a little bit better, that's his nickname, K-9, is the leadership that he possesses. He's a little quieter. When you get to know him, he comes out of his shell a little bit, but he is he's a grown-ass man out there, and he takes charge. He makes a lot of the checks, very smart, you know, wearing the green dot for us and a lot of things we're doing. And, again, I go back to when we played the Chargers a couple years ago. They had him and Kendricks and obviously the two edge pieces with Bosa and Khalil Mack. And the most disruptive inside piece on that football team for them was K-9.
Ryan, you kind of touched on it a moment ago with CD and George and the relationship that's kind of blossoming there. Can you kind of point to any specific examples over the last few months where you've kind of seen that kind of nurturing take effect, whether it's CD helping him out or George being what others may have said that he was, but him showing that he's actually this instead?
I think I see a ton of things every day. The first thing that caught my eye was when I heard the comment that CD made at some softball game or baseball game where he talked about, yeah, we don't talk about ones and twos. You know, you look over there, there's a one. You look over there, there's a one. And it's just a cool relationship. There's mutual respect. They care about one another. But, you know, CD, like I said yesterday, is in a great spot. He knows he's a great player. He knows he's an elite player, but he also knows that he can impact and affect our locker room, our team. And so I think you see a guy that's growing up and having fun.
George told us yesterday sort of about his personality and how it's different from his football persona, and that some adults are not able to understand that those two are different. Have you seen kind of that, any of that take effect in these early days? That, or at least see that there's a difference between those two?
I see George in meetings. I see George in practice. I see George in the locker room. I see George shoot basketballs, which he didn't shoot very good today. He's happy. He's in a good spot in terms of, you know, I think people that don't know George need to get to know George, because when you get to know George, you're going to be blown away by the heart that the guy has, the way he loves the game of football, how important it is to him, how important his family is to him, his mom. And, you know, it's just it wasn't just CD and George. Like, Joe Milton and George hang out all the time. They stream or whatever that's called. They play the video games, and I don't know. But they got these amazing setups. I've seen it, and I'm like, oh. You know, and they've asked me to jump on and sponsor them or pay money to watch. I'm like, hey, I'm good. I'm going to let you guys do that on yourself. But, again, if it's one guy looking out for one guy, it doesn't work. It's 90 guys looking after one another and 90 guys having each other's back. And that's what we're trying to build. Is it finalized yet? No. But we're making a lot of progress in the terms of guys looking out for one another and protecting one another.
Hey, Brian, Pat Doney with NBC in Dallas. I wanted to ask you, we're talking about Sam Williams rehab. I wanted to ask you about DeMarvion Overshown and the way that he's approached his. What have you seen? He posted the good news that it sounds like he could be back this season, and the way he has attacked this challenging circumstance that he is facing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, stud. Attack is the right word. He has attacked it from the beginning. When you watch him out there working on the bands and whatnot, he pushes everybody he's training with, whether it's Dak, whoever's with him. But what's really cool is you're going to see over the, as we get going now, as we're getting into practice, him spending more time with Flus, because you can't practice, but you can still watch and you can still learn. And again, you know, Flus is really excited about being able to spend some time with Demo and maybe even have him radio the plays in. Like, it's not just quarterbacks that radio plays in, but, you know, he can make the certain calls, you know, a stud, 51, whatever. And so I think that's the next step. So he's kicking ass in rehab, doing great, whatever. But now it's about, you can still lead from the sideline and you can still be the green dot or whatever it is by, you know, spending time. And Flus is all excited about doing that, which I think would be great for not just their relationship, but for Demo being locked into what we're trying to do defensively.
Mike Ducey, Fox 4. What can Micah bring to this process, even if he's not fully practicing? And did you see a typical type of Micah enthusiasm on the field yesterday?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, again, when you talk about being here and supporting your teammates, I just answered the question about being a family. And, you know, I think that's what all the guys are trying to do. And it's not just Micah. It's not just Dak. It's all the players. I think, you know, I'd be, you know, remiss if I didn't mention like Tyler Booker. You know, some of the things that he did yesterday in terms of being a great teammate and some of the leadership stuff that showed up, like, we've got the right kind of guys. And that was an important part, you know, Deuce, when you talk about what we were trying to build in the draft, is let's go get some great football players, but guys that also have the right makeup and that they love and care about football, their family, and I think we've done that.
And that's the Brian Schottenheimer press conference right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Marco Farfan from FC Dallas right here on 105.3 The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, let's take you back to the Metroplex. We will talk with FC Dallas defender Marco Farfan right here on 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. Thank you very much for jumping on with us. Now, I want to go back to the match against St. Louis, and I'm hoping you could walk us through not only getting the 3 points in that match, but winning that home match. And also, y'all were raising money for flood relief, so a huge night at Toyota Stadium.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like that night was more about what had happened than us. But, you know, we were just glad to be able to get the 3 points and, you know, raise that awareness to raise money to donate.
Is there any part of you, because of this has been a frustrating season at home, that when you finish the match, even though I know you guys had a comfortable lead most of the night, you're like, oh, finally?
Yeah, it's relieving for sure. Not content with anything, but, you know, it's something that I feel like the group needed. So, you know, we took the first step, so hopefully we can keep this going.
Is there anything in particular in not only that match, but I'd probably say like the last two matches, including the draw with San Jose, that you feel like, hey, we can build on that, or maybe y'all have already started to build on that in training?
Yeah, we obviously already started to build on that in training, but I think like the most noticeable thing is, you know, no matter who's playing or who comes into the game, everybody knows their role and is committed, and, you know, we're just committed to that, to be able to play as a team and play as a whole and, you know, be able to play for each other.
Marco, there is a pizza place that shares your name. It's called Marco's.
Oh, no.
And it's fantastic pizza if you've never had it. It is phenomenal. But we were driving through the parking lot one day. And
This was a year ago.
My co-host asked me, hey, do you think if Marco's had a brother and he owned a parking lot, that it would be called Parco's? Do you think that I was correct in immediately slamming the brakes on in the car and telling him to get out?
I thought thought you were going to say polos or something.
Oh, wow, that's a good one, too.
Man, you just swooped right in and jumped over my joke, didn't you? All right, I get it. Maybe not the best, most clever joke in the world. That was a year ago. Don't you think they should probably move on with their lives and get over it?
For sure, for sure.
Are there things, whether it's an opponent, I think an opponent would be more fun, or somebody on your team that you remember, like when you see them this next season and you're like, oh, I still remember what you said or what you did last year?
Oh, for sure. Whether it's in training where, for example, it's just banter within the locker room. Like, you don't win a game, or you go the whole day with losing, or you don't win in certain sessions and certain drills a whole week, then, you know, we hold that to you. We're like, hey, don't forget about last year. Don't forget about 2 months ago. Don't forget about that one day. But, you know, it's just banter to have fun with.
I've always been curious regarding this sport. It always seems like either the midfielder or the striker up front gets all the love. Do you feel like defensive players don't get enough love?
You know, it's kind of set up differently. You know, I feel like as a defender, you could be having a great game, a solid game, or, you know, one of the best games of the season, and then it could just take one little mistake, one little play that flips the switch on that. And just because of that certain play, that's what your whole 90 minutes is defined on, as opposed to maybe a forward having 10 chances and only finishing one, but it's the game-winning goal. It flips into a positive and whatnot. So, I mean, I feel like there's more to lose as a defender, I feel like. but, you know, it's just a part of it. It's part of the sport. It's part of the position.
You know, you're kind of talking about the trash talk a little bit there. Is there ever a goal that's given up and you point right back at Martin and you're like, bro, that was on you, man. Like, I know he's pointing.
Never that. Okay, good.
Because we've talked with him about it, and we joke with him about it, and he goes, yeah. No, all goalies never think it's their fault. It's like, it's not just me, it's everybody. And so, do you go up to him if there was ever a play? Not that this would ever happen, but if there is a play where you're like, man, I really missed my assignment right there, do you go right up to him and you're like, my bad, man, that's on me?
I feel like everybody, you know, could be able to take accountability. You know, when you know, you know. You take accountability and you're responsible for it. And usually in the game, you're like, okay, like you have to try to move on from it and try to play your game and try to make a positive out of the remaining minutes, because you can't really dwell and sit back and think too much about it, because there's no time to think about it. But you mostly, you know, talk about it and take accountability more so the day after the game and, you know, try to
take
it throughout the game.
My co-host today is going to get an opportunity to kick some field goals. Do you have any suggestions on what he can do? Any tips on how he can really get some good flight on some field goals today?
Well, I mean, it's with the football, I'm guessing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, for sure.
I don't have too much experience kicking a football, but, you know, I'm guessing just getting right under it.
There you go. Kevin, stop toeing it, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm going to work on that.
No toe punching out here.
It feels like every forward in the history of soccer has had that one opportunity where they think they're going to score a goal and they put it on 17,000 power and just sail it right over the bar. And you're like, come on, dude. Like, what were you doing there, you know?
Hey, getting too excited to get the goals in.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are you guys in a position, I think I know where you're going to go with this, but are you in a position where you standings watch at all, or do you just look at, hey, 3 points against New York City this weekend, 3 points against Portland, and if you stack up the threes, the rest of it will take care of it?
No, for sure. We understand the position we're in, and, you know, it's something we have to accept and be honest with ourselves. You could look at the standings. You could look at the, you know, certain games at home that we've lost that we should have won or closed out and whatnot. And we could be up there somewhere at the top of the table, if we're being honest. But, you know, that's not the case right now. So, you know, we're honest with ourselves. Right now, the only thing we can do is control what we can control, which is try to put performances together and play as a team to try to get the 3 points at home and get results away as well.
Man, well, we appreciate the time very, very much, good sir. And if you see Martin, if you'll just tell him that we said, hey, man, once in a while that goal was his fault. Okay.
I'll let him know.
Thanks, Marco. Good, sir. Appreciate the time very much. Yeah, absolutely. FC Dallas, Marco Farfán right here on 105.3 The Fan. I think he's the second longest tenured player on the team, or I guess second most matches perhaps played on the team currently that is on the roster. So you got the game, New York City. I believe that's actually a Friday night game. And then a little bit of time off, Portland. But you've got two more home matches at Toyota Stadium. Finally picked up another win at home. So hopefully they can build on that momentum. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellows from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
And a swing and a miss here on a DeGrom heater. Rooker is out on strikes for a second time. 9 strikeouts now for DeGrom through 6 tonight.
Jacob DeGrom looked tremendous yesterday. The Rangers win again. That's 4 out of 5. You go back to the last series of, or the last little part of the first half of the season, they have now won 7 of their past 9. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, let's take you to the Metroplex to chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Awesome, Heggie. How are you?
We're doing well. Now, we haven't really talked about it a whole bunch today because I know Sean and RJ talked about it a whole lot during their show. How did you feel the Rowdy Tellez interview went?
I mean, the beginning, it was shocking to me. Like, I was like, wow, how did that kind of a question get such dead air from him? you know, and then as the interview went on, at times I was like, okay, we're starting to vibe a little bit, you know? So overall, I didn't think it was going to get this reaction. I just thought it was another awkward interaction that I, you know, tend to have with players. And then I depend on Chief to like make them laugh.
Stephen Colbert once said, you never want to be on great TV. You never want to be one of those people where people say that was great TV.
Yeah.
And that was great radio. So I'll just put it to you that way. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Well, guys, we tried to do something for you.
Oh,
so
thank you.
This has controlled the 105.3 The Fan news cycle. We're trying to break that cycle right here and now.
Oh, gosh. You made me do this.
That's debatable.
You peer pressured me into it.
Have you made
it.
A diss track about this, Heggie?
No.
Not more slam poetry.
So we interviewed Joe Milton yesterday. I hope you guys heard the interview. I thought he was fantastic.
By the way, I just saw a picture Machota posted of him. He has a hat that says Yes Coach on it, and I think that's awesome.
That is awesome. We did take one question out of the interview. But I want to play that question for you guys right now. And I want to get your instant reaction to the question, to Joe Milton's answer, to why Corey would delve into this sort of madness. I really want all of your thoughts. Go ahead and, well, Alec, you know the question. This is a real thing that really happened. Play it.
If you were a virgin at this point, how do you think your life would be different? You can say you're a virgin still, and we'll be okay with that, Joe.
I told you it was a shocking question.
Man,
I'm sorry.
To be honest, I would say I think my life would be kind of weird.
Okay.
In a way, and not to, like, you know, downgrade the Bible or anything like that, but it's like you kind of, as a man, you got to know how to experience things. And you're going to go through experience. You're going to go through adversity. And I feel like that's one of those adversities because I feel like time from time is different, you know. So you just learn stuff and you kind of grow from it and, you know.
See, it's a pre-record.
You put thought into that answer. I appreciate it.
So we'll restructure the interview to sound regular. And then if we all feel okay about it, we can play that answer
that
at the end.
That sounds good to me. I like that.
And we did feel... I guess, okay, we played it. I don't know if we felt okay about it. What do you guys think about Corey's shocking
I asked you that question off air, and then you said you have to ask Joe Milton.
Yeah,
and then
I
you
did.
Pressured me into it.
I peer pressured Corey into asking that question, and then Joe Milton gave a really well thought out answer, which included, I'm not trying to downgrade the Bible, which is one of my favorite things I've ever heard here at training camp.
Yeah, I was thinking, was there any pretext like, hey, we're going to ask you off-the-wall questions, Joe. Here they come. You ready?
Okay, so he like sat down, and we started kind of joking around and everything like that. And I go, hey, my co-host, before we started recording, has a really shocking question he wants to ask you. And he didn't even flinch. He goes, yeah, man, shoot.
Yeah, let's get it.
And so like, so we did set it up. And I don't know if he was expecting that or not.
Yeah.
But so we did our best to take some heat off of you guys in the news cycle with that preposterous question.
I don't know if you've done enough, though. I think you need to do more of those tomorrow.
You don't think you added to the heat a little bit with the Bochy question?
Definitely.
Had to stir it up with Boch.
I was just asking how he's adapted to the team. That was all I was asking, and then Boch said what he said.
Did you hear what the afternoon show?
I didn't laugh. I just asked them if they had heard of this interview because it kind of felt like Boch made a little bit of a joke in there as
well.
From personal experience, if anything that I say is embarrassing, Jared will run around like a school girl showing it on his smartphone to all the players. So I'm sure they're all very well aware of the Rowdy Tellez interview from yesterday.
You gotta love Jared for those things, that's for sure.
Okay, so
I'm still reeling of Joe Milton going back into like football speak with the adversity of being bad in bed when you start. You have to be able to overcome that adversity, bro.
Always lost, man.
What a savage.
I thought his answer...
If you have a bad day, you know, you can have a good day tomorrow.
Look, I thought his answer was tremendous, and just for the record, I mean, I called Eric immediately last night from Dodger Stadium because we were driving up there, and Bobby goes, dude, did you hear that interview? And I was like, I am in the car, so
glorious.
No. And I had to call Eric, and Eric, I loved your breakdown. But I think people are losing sight of it. At the very end of that interview, or the next to last part of that interview, he goes, I'm a self-deprecating guy.
Yeah.
And I just beat y'all to it. So
I liked it.
I kind of thought maybe he did not think it was so bad.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He was claiming to be the Mr. Fun, loose, clubhouse guy, jokey guy, but he wasn't necessarily here for brisket talk. It's like, how are we supposed to know that he was living in Texas? Did anybody in America know that Rowdy Tellez, after being DFA'd, was just going to be residing in the state of Texas? Did anybody know that?
No. Well, apparently there was a lot of stuff I didn't know.
Yeah.
But well, I think that has forever changed me. You know, I will never talk about food in front of a big person again. And I didn't even think it was that big. You know, I don't want to unintentionally make somebody so offended. You know, we always talk about food on this show, though.
We do.
Yeah. We all do, yeah.
105.3 The Food, man.
Yeah, y'all are the food show of record.
Thank you.
The most underrated part of that intro, though, is you go, he hits a bomb about once a week. Like, I just really liked that setup, man.
I
appreciate you guys for rolling with it. But Zach, I know I did ask the question to Bochy. I hope you will cut us some slack that we did not play any cuts from that interview the entire show.
Yeah. I'm even more ticked off now.
See? What? Yeah, great job, Kevin. Now you pissed off Zach. Dang it, Zach. You know what? I miss you, man. I miss you guys so much.
I know.
While
it
we're
not too. There together. We miss you,
At
man.
Least we're able to give Sean and RJ just plenty of content for their show.
Yeah.
There you true. Go. That's what it's all about, guys.
Definitely. All right. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Well, we'll probably give Sean and RJ some more segments. Just stick around. but we have Jared Sandler actually coming up at 3 o'clock, so we'll do a full follow-up there. But everything breaking coming out of camp. Broaddus is watching practice down there. I'm sure you guys are about to join
in.
Yes,
sir.
He's going to join us at 3:15 right before the C-note and all that. So we're rocking and rolling here for 4.5.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yes!
Yes! Love it, love it, love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have the Cansey Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Fan.
Say training camp forever, Kevin.
Training camp forever!